HR Tech Expo on the conference room floor live at the Olio booth. As Ryan would say, we are powered by Olio today. It's the second day. It's nearing, well, it's past lunch, so things are starting to slow down a little bit. However, it might be getting a little more fun now since, you know, some of the more, let's just say, serious people have already made their way to the airport. So here we are. I have, as our guests now, we have Fama.
Fama, that's right.
Fama, which is Latin for fame, also Spanish for fame. And I have Nicole Grotti and... How about you try saying it?
Brenton Eichstead.
Okay. Brenton is the Chief Technology Officer of Fama, and Nicole is the Director of Product Marketing. Not the Director of Product, but the Director of Product Marketing. And what is Fama?
Yeah, so we do online screening for misconduct, and we do that because background screening technology is the oldest technology in the market.
Background screening, yep.
Yeah, it's the oldest technology in the market, and it's gotten really, really good at... doing checks quickly and efficiently, but it's also missing some key signals of misconduct because most misconduct is never
a crime,
right, in the criminal justice system. But just because something isn't recorded in the criminal justice system doesn't mean that it's appropriate for work.
Right.
And so 95% of global background screening vendors actually partner with us to help close the gaps and make workplaces safer and more inclusive and improve quality of hire and retention.
Okay. So it is a technology that covers the gap between what you are supposed to legally check for and what might make a difference that you might be missing.
Right. For example, like most harassment is never recorded as a crime.
Right. Yeah, a lot of it.
Most intolerance is never recorded in a crime. And even most violence is never recorded as a crime. But that doesn't mean we want employees coming to work and being violent toward others.
Being borderline violent, but not violent enough to have gotten caught.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Or threats. Yeah. Like most people making threats are not going to jail for it and being prosecuted. And
or just bigotry and...
Right, exactly.
Nefarious, otherwise nefarious behavior.
Right.
Racism and...
Yeah.
Things that... Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's kind of heavy. I'm depressed now.
Oh, sorry about that.
Please don't run my name.
The good thing is that we help prevent companies from hiring workers that are doing that.
Right.
And so... It's more of like the absence of those things.
But the companies aren't hiring you. They're hiring some kind of background check company, and you are their power.
For the most part.
Or they...
On the online screening front, yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. So what other front is there?
Well, I mean, there's identity checks and verifications.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I mean, there's other components that we don't do, but we complete the...
Yeah, gotcha. So there's also the, like, somebody has to run to the local law office or whatever.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore, hopefully.
Yeah, I've heard it has.
Still?
Yeah, because there are some jurisdictions that don't have their records online.
Still.
Which really delays the process. Because as you said, a lot of the vendors nowadays offer 24-hour turnaround.
Right.
You know, except for when you have to literally send a runner to the local, and they have to hire like a PI that has the license to go in and...
Yep.
Yeah. And say, hey, no, we really got this, we got this person's permission to run their background check.
Right.
We're not just here, Snoopy Loopy.
Yeah, the most running we do is like from a treadmill desk while we
Basically, yeah.
I want a treadmill desk. All right, so HR technology. Have you had a chance to kind of look around and see what's going on around here?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
When you walk around, what do you see is... in your opinion, just really, truly innovation in technology? Have you seen anything that's like, wow, that's new and I like it and it's...
That's really interesting.
I think, from my perspective, I've seen a few things that I think are innovative, but I'm distinctly interested in helping companies find and hire good people. And so that's partly what we do.
Find and hire.
So,
okay.
So, looking at other companies that are doing similar things, not exactly the way we're doing them, but different components of really finding quality people, quality of hire. So I'm seeing some technologies out there that are doing that, and I think that's really interesting.
And that's good. Yeah. Okay. What have you found is the kind of, the common denominator across what you're seeing here today?
I mean, everyone's talking about AI, right? Mm-hmm. So that's
what does that really mean?
I mean, you know, it could be as simple as you know, just a bunch of if-then statements.
Right, at the decision tree, yeah.
Right, just the
decision tree. That's how I feel about it, yeah.
As to being as complex as, you know, LLMs and things like that, where they really truly are, you know, sort of quasi-thinking on their own, you know. Mm-hmm. I see all kinds of things going on the floor here that run the gamut of that, you know.
If I could tell every attendee, not the vendors, but every attendee to do one thing, it would be to, like, actually ask the question, what exactly is AI to this company?
Yeah.
Because there's just kind of it's a blanket term.
Totally.
And it's really not a common denominator. It's just a common word, but it could be completely different things that, you know, they're just calling it. And it used to be other semantic search was huge, you know,
right,
a few years back.
Right.
And essentially, in some ways, this is also that. You know, you need an ontology for some of the models to work. Or if you don't have one, you trained it. And when you trained it, you created a ad hoc ontology.
Excellent.
The CTO is
absolutely
shaking his head up in the air. So I must have nailed that one. In the industry that you're in, so what part of Fama does is look for indicators in a way. So there's like, there must be some markers that become these indicators, right?
Yeah.
Is there an AI application there, or is that too dangerous? Because the AI might like mislabel or misinterpret the indicators.
So I think, you know, there is an AI component there, and we do use it.
The categorization of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
To categorize and classify the content. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is to weed out the vast majority of things that aren't problematic, right?
Which, let's face it, is hopefully the most...
Yeah.
Like, the majority should just be regular,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've filtered out 95%+ of everything.
Because you're just looking for the risks, not
correct.
Not the non-risks.
Exactly. And then, you know, you once you get into the classification of things that are problematic, that's mm-hmm. when you start talking about what are you concerned about in terms of bias in the AI or things like that. And, you know, to me, a lot of it comes down to the fact that there's still a person involved in it.
There's a fact checker.
There's a fact checker.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're using, let's call it AI, but really is it? You're using the technology, the large data sets and the ability for machines to do something that they can do very well that humans can't do, which is to process a lot of information.
Correct.
You're using that as an assistive technology.
Exactly.
It's helping bring to the surface the things that you should look at, and then someone looks at that and makes a decision, because that's not quite where AI is yet.
That's right.
It's not decision capable yet.
Our AI does not make decisions.
It doesn't decide, right.
It really just says this is something you might want to look at.
And that is a huge factor with the New York case.
Right.
Yes.
And what has transpired there, and is probably going to continue repercussions throughout the whole ecosystem, is because generally speaking, it's hard to get legislation through, and governing bodies tend to be very, I don't want to say lazy, but they tend to, if something has already been done, they tend to sort of carry that on, right? So they're gonna take that case and move it forward and apply it in other ways.
Exactly.
And what the real essence, in my experience, of that case, correct me if I'm wrong, is essentially letting the automation make the decision.
Absolutely. That's exactly
what it is.
Which is
what you're not supposed to do.
Correct.
So
correct.
That regulation, I'm glad for.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then if they over-regulate, they're going to make it so that you cannot apply the technology. So therefore, it will be regulated or illegal or prohibited to actually use the assistive technology for the things that it's good for.
Exactly.
So that's the other side, is if we over-legislate the protections.
Totally. Yeah.
And not take advantage of the machine's power.
I love the idea of it being a system technology. I mean, that's really what it is.
That's what it is.
That's how we should be using it, because there's just nuances of human judgment that you can't encode yet. Maybe someday we will be.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's I have a background in nonverbal communication and intercultural communication. And I've just always been a huge proponent or advocate of the fact that you have differences in, not just nuances, but outright differences in semiotics and the meaning of things. And that you just can't, a machine is not going to be able to determine something that's new because it hasn't had experience with it.
Correct.
Where humans can make that logical leap. In the future, that AI that really is able to, you know, create cognition may be able to, but right now we don't have anything even remotely close to that.
No, exactly.
So you
right.
still need that extra layer. What about the case of mistaken identity? Michael Smith, right?
Yeah.
How is AI handling that? Is it poorly handled?
Again, it's assistive. So we do have AI that helps us identify the people using basically algorithms that triangulate based on data about a person, you know, their name, their address, their general location, those types of things. So it helps us weed in and weed out again, but it ultimately comes down to a person, again, making the decision about, is this actually the person that we're looking at, or is this a different John Smith? And so because we're Fair Credit Reporting Act compliant, we have to have at least 3 markers for each profile that we identify. So, you know,
is one of them visual?
Yes, it can be.
Okay.
It absolutely can be.
So at least 3
a picture, and we can look at a picture.
Address.
Address, phone number,
email, picture.
Okay. Picture. Yes, correct.
That correlate. In order to say this is that person.
To data we already know is true about them.
Got it. Yeah. Do you need their permission?
We do. Yes.
For
everything
this
is consent
kind of
based. Everything is consent based. Again, back to the Fair Credit Reporting Act stuff, we do have to,
get
consent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What about Americans with Disabilities Act?
That's a good question. In what way?
Well, utilizing sort of the aggregation of information may potentially, and you may not pass this to the employer, which would protect me from that, but may potentially reveal that perhaps I'm diabetic.
Ah, yes, I see what you're saying. So yeah, we weed out. That's part of how we help companies stay compliant, is because
like literally none your business.
Instead of them going on, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Instead of them going on and looking at it themselves and seeing protected information.
Yeah.
We
look, Shelly's wearing a Jewish star.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We actually filter that out.
Right.
And we only present the things that are relevant. And so if it's relevant to misconduct, we present it.
Behavioral.
But if it has anything to do with
things they've done.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So we're never going to show their religion. We're never going to show that type of thing at all.
And what about weed?
it's
kind of a thing, right?
Because we do flag for cannabis,
but
if the company wants to know about it.
If the company requires it.
Yep.
Right.
And it's, you know, in places like California, it doesn't matter, right?
Some companies don't ask and won't care.
Exactly.
And then there's the conflict of in the state in which they reside, it's legal for recreational use, and in the state that the company is the employer of record, it isn't. So, you know, which one has jurisdiction? And so that's why some companies simply say, well, we're not going to ask because it's getting cloudy.
Yep.
But then there's also, before all of this, the fact that I might be, you know, there might be a picture of what might potentially be considered misconduct, in that I'm like smoking a doobie at a party, and that may be lack of judgment, you know,
sure.
Poor judgment.
Sure.
But it's also medical. So you got the, like, well, you know, how do you know Shelly doesn't have a whatever license to, you know.
Right. Right.
So that's where the human comes in and goes, okay, this exactly. is not relevant because...
Exactly. And it's not only our humans at FAMA that are reviewing it. Then, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't score or say this person is good or bad. We just
surface, shows it, doesn't show it?
We just surface the information okay. so that the hiring team can then use that information to make more
Got it. So it's
decisions.
Like, hey, need to look at this and determine.
Yeah, exactly.
You
make
that. Okay.
You talk to Shelly and say, hey, Shelly, are you a medical marijuana patient?
Well, that would be none of your business. Again,
yeah. But maybe it is an idea. Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah. Right. So that's interesting. So that's an application, in my opinion, that's an application of technology that people haven't really talked a lot about, right? Is this, I don't know, classification is not a good example. Aggregation of information, right? When you look at the models like ChatGPT, for example, there's a lot of information that was fed into it that is very non-homogeneous. It's law, medicine, books, fiction, nonfiction, whatever. But when you look at the kind of information you guys are looking at, it's homogeneous in that it's all social content. So you can more tightly define the railings that you can operate into. Mm-hmm. I don't see enough of that. Have you seen other organizations out there that are really tightly defining the rails? I don't see enough of that. I see a lot of generally talking about AI, and it seems like a lot of it is like connecting to ChatGPT or
right.
whatever.
Right.
And that's that non-homogeneous information.
Yeah.
Do you see the other side a lot?
Not really.
No?
Not so much. I think it's something we're going to see. You know, obviously a general model of intelligence is something that everyone's going after.
Yeah.
Right?
And it has applications.
It has applications, yeah. Absolutely. But I think that the application of more specific models that are much simpler than an LLM, but
That's
do the
a good
job
point. Much simpler.
Very, very well for yeah. a particular domain, you're going to see that continue, I think, and hopefully become more used, because I think it's more accurate in a lot of cases.
That's right.
For a particular use case.
One of my mentors in the whole artificial intelligence space and automation, particularly before it was called AI, you know, I mean, it's before this whole new AI thing has come out. So like, let's just say prior to ChatGPT, we used to call it automation, and I was really big on writing and using it for practical reasons. But the point is that I had this mentor that told me, he explained this in a way that really stuck with me. He said, the robots, the machines, the program, the technology can do something very, very well in a way that is faster, better, more accurate than a human could if it sticks to that one thing. So, for example, he used the robot hammering a nail. If you have a nail hammering robot, that nail hammering robot is going to hammer nails faster, more efficiently, more accurately than a human ever possibly could.
Right.
But don't ask it to make you a cup of tea.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And so that's what I'm seeing, is that when you use when you need to hammer nails and use a nail hammering robot, you've got an advantage.
Yes.
But when you need to create a compelling story and you use a nail hammering robot, now you're like just you're really just applying AI just for the sake of applying it.
Just for the sake of applying it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's, I think it's natural that everyone, gravitates towards what's the newest, coolest thing. But there's plenty of AI out there.
There is,
that's
yeah.
been around for, much longer than ChatGPT, that does really good,
very specific right.
stuff. Absolutely.
And social media, so we really don't talk about social media much anymore because it's just media. It's now everywhere.
Right.
But when you guys are out there looking for evidence of behavior, social media is a big component of it, right? Because let's face it, if I intentionally wrote an article on LinkedIn, I meant for that to be seen.
That's
I'm
right.
not going to be somehow leaking, There have been other companies before. There was one called Crystal you might have heard of.
Sure.
That was like interpreting all of your profile information, trying to make some sort of prediction about your personality
yep.
and stuff like that.
Yep.
How close is this to that?
It's actually something that we're working on. And
interesting.
We're definitely looking to say, fit. How do we get fit for a position?
Right now, it's flagging potential risk.
Correct.
But there's also this finding potential matches,
exactly.
Which is not the opposite, but it's another part of the spectrum. It's now you're not like trying to protect someone from risk. Now you're saying, let's find someone that actually might be a really good match based on this.
Totally. And it's sort of the positive and negative being put together in a way.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, this person isn't partaking in any misconduct, and his personality
and
fits this.
The conduct they are partaking in
is good.
Is a good
and
match
what we
for
really want.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's
something we're working on.
That's the future.
Yeah. That's probably in 6 months or so you'll see something from us
like
on
it.
That.
Nicole, what do you have to say about that? You've been very quiet.
Yeah, no, I've been I've been enjoying the ride of this podcast and the turns that
what he said.
Yeah, no, I mean, Brenton is always, he's one of the smartest people, but he's he doesn't talk a lot. And
so me getting him to talk is a big win?
Absolutely.
All right.
Big win for us. In a while.
Big win, right?
During the analyst briefings we've been in and out of, he started to lose his voice, and I don't
think
he's
like
ever
it.
Talked enough to lose his voice in his life anymore. So I've just been happy listening to him talk about AI and tech, and that's what he loves, and he's really, really, really good at.
Well, definitely comes across, and I appreciate your perspective on it.
Absolutely.
Especially what we have to look forward to. That's exciting, and it's a lot less boring than all the general AI. To me, it's got a real application. So,
exactly.
Well, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank
we
you.
Are live at the HR Tech Expo in the Olio booth with the folks from FAMA. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.